Good morning. Welcome to Palm Sunday. When we just sang "He gives and takes away" at the end of that song, where's that from? It's in the Bible. Do you know where it is? Who said it? "He gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Okay. You're not impressing me. Job! It was Job. And he said it because in a few days, a storm had wiped out his children. He was afflicted with sores, and he was sat on a pile of ashes, and he said, "He gives and he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." I always think, that's a bit sad. And when I sing that song, I always think, well, yeah, it sounds like God delights to, yeah, you can have that, but now you can't. So, I don't know if you can answer this one very well, but I'll give it a try. What happened to Job at the end of the book? He got more than he ever had before. In fact, well done, star, go to the top of the class. I mean, I know it's not one of them books you choose to read very often, but, you know. So actually, God gave him double everything that he had. And as I understand it, those trials in Job only took place in a few months. And Job lived for many, many years afterwards, doubly blessed. So don't think God just gives and takes away. God loves to keep giving, because that's his nature. Yeah. This is not my text, but I just thought, again, the song's kind of inspired me this morning. Even youths grow tired and weary, and old men certainly do. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I don't particularly like waiting for buses or anything else for that matter. Those who wait on the Lord is another translation. But this one I want to major on that hoping in God. And I'm going to call this message "Finding Joy in Hidden or Dark Places." So I've got this little bag out of my attic. And inside it is something I found in another attic. Most of you will know I'm an electrician. And for my sins, I go into attics sometimes. I hate going in attics. Dark, horrible, cold places, or too hot in summer. And especially if you have to move the insulation. And I was doing a job quite a few years ago. Incidentally, I don't do it anymore now. No more attics. Thank you. Just in case you're going to ask me, no. But in those days, I did do attic work, and I was crawling around in the dark with my headlight on, and I found this sort of white thing. I thought, what's that? And I lifted the insulation up, and it was this, a white ball. That wasn't on it, just a white ball. And I turned it around, and it said, "Joy." So I found joy in a dark and hidden place. And that is my favourite bauble on the Christmas tree. And Jackie hates it. And we have it there every year, even though it doesn't match anything else, because it reminds me that I can find joy in hidden places. How does that fit in with Palm Sunday? My aim is to show the importance of joy. You know, we need joy. We really do need joy. Thomas Aquinas said, man cannot live without joy. Therefore, when he's deprived of true spiritual joy, it is necessary that he become addicted to carnal pleasure. If you don't find joy in God, you'll find joy in a bottle or sex or something else. But you cannot live deprived of joy. It's called depression. We can't live with depression. It kills us. We need to live with joy. Paul said, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. My text this morning, Hebrews 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, consider Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author of our faith. Consider him who endured. Is it just I read a gospel a day. That's my way of doing that. Every morning I'll read one little story about Jesus or something that Jesus said, because it helps me to keep considering Jesus, because that enables my faith to grow. So, put that out there for you. Palm Sunday, isn't it interesting that the same crowd who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with shouts of joy, 5 days later turned to shouts of crucify him. And we know feelings of exuberance and joy, they can come and they can go. And, you know, how do we handle that in life? Joy seems to evaporate quite quickly. So I've entitled this, to split it into three things. Finding joy in life, finding joy in God, and always finding joy in hope. Finding joy in life. Even though Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be a man of sorrows, the writer of Hebrews said, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God has anointed you with joy above your companions. I believe Jesus is full of joy. I really do. I don't particularly like the portrayals of Jesus going around looking sad and miserable and sort of thin in the face and often the classic portrayal. I believe Jesus was full. Why do I believe Jesus was full of joy? Well, how can you go around healing the sick, setting people free, teaching people how to truly live life and know God and be miserable? You know, it doesn't work for me that. Jesus, I believe, loved to see people set free. I've got one long reading. I'm going to do it now from Luke chapter 10. And I'll spare you any more long readings, but this one's an important one. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, Father, I praise you because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. So there's just a little scripture. Jesus was full of joy. Religion is a joy killer. Paul wrote to the Galatians, who were really getting heavy into religion, trying to obey the law. He said, what has happened to all your joy? And God wants us to live life to the full. I'm convinced that life is to be enjoyed, and God wants us to enjoy. Whatever you find joyful in life, I love it when my daughter comes home. Jackie just lights up. Just simple times in life when joy is, it's just natural, isn't it? I'm joyful. I was privileged to go skiing 3 weeks ago, and on that Sunday 3 weeks ago, I was skiing down a rather gentle slope. It was gentle, because I lifted my arms up in worship, surrounded my mountains, and I was in heaven. That was joy. It wouldn't have been joy if I'd have crashed, but it was joy. And whatever you like, I can't dance. I would love to dance. But when I watch my daughter dance, she's full of joy. When you watch little children dance, they're full of joy. God intends us to live life in joy. So finding joy in life. Finding joy in God. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah encouraged the workers and said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The psalmist writes in Psalm 16, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Mother Teresa, who went around with the Sisters of Mercy looking after the really, really poor in Calcutta, wouldn't allow anybody to enter the order unless they would spend 1 hour every morning in praise and worship. That was part of the regime. You cannot go out on the streets with all the misery unless you yourself go out with joy and find joy in the presence of God. I think that's a good idea. Paul and Silas were beaten and chained in the deepest, darkest dungeon. They sang songs of praise at midnight. And later on, and he said, I like this, and the prisoners were listening to them. But they were singing songs. They'd just been beaten and put in chains because they were preaching about Jesus. And that's the results. And later on, in yet another prison, Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." We cannot always rejoice in circumstances, but according to Paul, we can always rejoice in God. And in fact, we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. I think the key to it is to be thankful. That just helps me. No matter what the circumstances, you can say, well, you can't get worse than this. Believe me, it can always get worse than this. Just be find something to be thankful for in whatever the situation and turn your heart towards God. He says in the Psalm 100, "I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise." And interesting, that psalm that goes, "Shout for joy to the Lord." That's how it starts. So the joy and the thankfulness are entering because it's faith. He's saying, God, even though this is happening, I still have the presence of God in my spirit. It's still the presence of God, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy in my heart. Finding joy in hope, which is our main theme of this message. I recently read there are more psalms of lament than psalms of joy. Didn't know that. There's more psalms complaining to God than there are psalms of joyfulness to God. Where do you find joy when circumstances are grim and God seems distant? And I believe you find joy in hope. I believe that on Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode towards his certain death and a horrible death, that the joy set before him was not the cross. The joy set before him was a joy beyond the cross. The certain hope of his own resurrection. That Jesus, even in that most dire situation, where it's interesting, the people were welcoming him in with celebration, excuse me. In his own spirit, he knew his destiny was the cross. And there's no joy in a cross. But he saw beyond the cross. It was a certain hope. It wasn't premium bond hope. It wasn't lottery hope. It was a certain hope that God would raise him from the dead. I mean, he'd been telling the disciples for months and months that he was heading for Jerusalem, and there he would be rejected, there he would be spat upon, there he would be despised, and there he would be crucified. And the disciples said they didn't understand what he was talking about. But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He had read the book of Isaiah. He knew the plan of God was for him to be the sacrificial lamb. But he saw beyond that. He saw that in all that grimness and horribleness of the crucifixion, he saw the resurrection. Finding joy is not always easy in dark places. I like this psalm. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." I held on to that psalm most of last year because I had bronchitis most of last year. And I spent so many nights coughing and coughing, I couldn't sleep. And I was calling out to God and taking Benylin and Cavonia and Vic and whatever I could get hold of just to stop coughing so I could sleep and stop wheezing so I could breathe. And on those long winter nights, particularly, you think, where is God in this? And James says, count it all joy when you meet trials. Well, I find that hard sometimes, you know, when you meet trials. How do you count it joy? And you know you're being tested and your faith is being tested in it. And somehow God brought me through. And one of the things, I was amazed in the morning, I usually had more energy than I thought I would have. And somehow I still managed to keep working most days. But those nights were horrible. Weeping may remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I remember one particular night, more recently, I was in the other room coughing, and I tried everything, Benylin, Vic, Cavonia, blah, blah, blah. And I was still couldn't stop. And I said, Lord, help me. And it came so clear to me, said, get Jackie to pray for you. Jackie was in the other side of the house trying to avoid me, keeping her awake all night. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. I'm not waking my wife up. She will not be blessed. And I felt it so strongly that I went through. And I knelt by the bed and I said, Jackie, Lord, I just can't stop coughing. Will you pray for me? And she prayed for me. And I tell you not a word of a lie. I went back into the other room. I stopped coughing and had the most wonderful sleep. And it's finding God and still trusting God in those dark places and listening to what he's saying, not what the enemy's saying. The thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy, and lie. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. Where does it say that in the Bible? Yes, you know, because you preached on it recently. It's 100% life. Remember that, John 10:10. Jesus promised us life to the full if we keep trusting him, even in those dark places. Those who call out to the Lord. And often those psalms of lament are, how long, Lord? How long is this night going to go on for? But God listens. He's testing your faith. Not easy, but there is joy in the morning. Ultimately, there is joy in the morning. It's tough, isn't it, sometimes? I felt so sorry for Kate Middleton yesterday, making the announcement that, you know, she's been treated for cancer. Chemotherapy is a horrible thing. And I got a little quote, because it just touched my heart. She said, for everyone facing disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. That's it. I'm going to read it again. For everyone facing whatever disease, dis-ease there is in your life, in whatever form, please do not lose faith in Jesus or hope in God. For Jesus, there was no joy in crucifixion. even though Hebrews said he was made perfect through suffering. The joy set before Jesus was death overcome, evil defeated, and you and me delivered. That was the joy of Jesus. That was the joy, even going through the cross. He saw beyond the cross to what God was doing to defeat the enemy and to bring us into his presence. And as I read it, in his presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. We have a hope for joy, fullness of joy in the presence of God. Guess what? We have a joy in the presence of God, even now, if we seek his presence. How do I know this is true? I've read the end of the book. I've been going through the Bible and I've been reading Revelation. Not the easiest book to read. But I thought, no, this is my time to read Revelation. I'm going to read Revelation, read the comments, try to understand it yet again. But the last chapter, we win. That's all you need to understand. We win. No more death. No more sickness, no more cancer, no more depression, no more tears. We are in the presence of God because Jesus, through the cross, defeated evil. Evil has no right in this world. It's not how God intended it to be. And when we get into his presence, evil will be no more. So, Jesus endured the cross in anticipation of the joy of being the Savior of his people when the necessary suffering was over. I talked about Jesus, about my daughter Emily coming home and the joy that gives us. And it's interesting in Matthew 25, Jesus talking to it's a parable of the talents, but he says, well done. Enter into your master's joy. I love that. Well done. Enter into your master's joy. So, enjoy life. Whatever you enjoy, walk in the countryside, whatever, just make sure you do it. Life's too grim. I mean, I was preparing this message and it was absolutely horrible. Cold winter's day, the rain pouring down. Lord, I don't want to speak about joy. But, yeah. It's nice this morning, but you know, the English weather. But enjoy life while you can. Get out there. Enjoy spring. Always rejoice in the Lord. Enter his presence with thanksgiving. But on the dark days and the even darker nights, don't forget the hidden joy of hope that we do win in the end. Amen. Have a happy Easter.